Acts chapter 4, one of the things that I want us to remember, and this is where we as Christians need to focus. One of the things that always bothered me was I wasn't trained. I went to church on a regular basis all my young years, on up till my 20s. Sharon and I got married. We kind of got out of church a little while, but we got back in. But the truth is, as a child, as a teenager, I was in church regular. But there were some things I was not taught. There are things that are being in churches today that are not being taught. For instance, and I made a big deal about this, I do use Facebook, okay? Some of you may not like that or may not use it, but I use Facebook as a teaching tool. And one of the things I like to do is I put a paragraph in our bulletin from time to every week, and sometimes I'll put it on the internet. I'll put it on the Facebook page. But the most important thing is, Friday I was driving the bus, and I went by a church, a Protestant church. By the way, just to let people know, we are not Protestants, okay? We're Baptists. Protestants are people that came out of the Catholic church because they protested, okay? Just wanted to clear that up. We're not a Protestant church. Baptists never came out of the Catholic church. We never joined with them to start with. But anyway, went by a Protestant church, and they were having Good Friday service. And it bothers me when people aren't biblically correct. They think Jesus was crucified on Friday.
No way.
There's no way that he could have been crucified on Friday and rose on Sunday and be dead 3 days and three nights, which is what he said in Matthew 12:40.
Right.
And so what we need to understand is there's a lot that's not being taught even in churches today. And it wasn't taught to me back then. And one of the greatest, probably the greatest problem in our world today is the fact that people aren't taught the truth about the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And there are some problems there in the fact that people think that, oh, it was just a story. Oh, it was just a fictional tale. Oh, it was just an allegory. Oh, it wasn't real. But I want you to know something. If it was real, and it was, and by the time we leave here, you'll know that, if nothing else, you'll know that I believe it. But if it was real, then it was of God.
Amen.
And if it was of God, there was a reason for Jesus to have to die.
Amen.
Before he could raise from the dead, he'd have to die.
Right.
I go through some things sometimes when you look at the cross, and we don't have one up here right now, and we may one day, but the truth is you look at the cross and it tells you some things. And sometimes we just kind of look past the cross. But the cross tells us, number one, that there's a holy God. And he's not going to let sin in his presence. But he wants us to go. He also, number two, you see that when you look at the cross, you see that sin is hideous in God's eyes. That was why the horror of the crucifixion took place. Jesus, I really believe that Jesus came, and the Bible says in due time Christ died for the ungodly, or for the ungodly. And he came at a specific time in history, because I really believe that that's when mankind's most torturous execution was available, and God wanted to show us how horrible sin is in his eyes. Jesus was willing to go through the most excruciating torture for you and I.
Amen.
And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we see a cross and we forget just exactly how awful it was on the Lord. We were talking about it on the bus. I get a lot of opportunities to preach on the bus and teach on the bus, and had one of the people on the bus ask me, we got to talking about the crucifixion, and sometimes we forget just how bad. The Bible says in Isaiah that his visage was marred more than any man. The Lord Jesus physically should have died from the beating that he took. But he didn't. See, he didn't take, and nobody took his life. He gave it. And he wasn't going to die until he was ready. But I think about there was another reason that I think that he delayed in dying. Number one, he had to fulfill the passages where it says in Psalm 22 that his feet and hands were going to be pierced. But there was a thief on the cross.
Amen.
See, Jesus went through all that and he refused to die because he had a plan to go soul winning. On the cross. And so what I want us to realize, you see the hideousness of the cross, you see the holiness of God, but you also see the love of God.
Amen.
That he was willing to let Jesus go through such a cruel punishment to rescue our souls. He knew that what he was going through was nothing compared to what we're going to go through in the lake of fire for eternity if we don't have him to rely on to save our soul, to pay for our sin debt.
That's right.
And by the way, I like saying this. I tell this to people when I'm witnessing. The lake of fire was not created for people. Bible says in Matthew 28:41, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Satan's got his name on the mailbox. He doesn't have a choice. He's going. You and I, it wasn't created for us. It wasn't created for any person. And so we see the love of God. We also see the mercy. That God was willing to forgive us of every single sin we have committed or will commit. Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
No chance of going to that awful place called the lake of fire if you come to Jesus. But how do you prove that there really was a resurrection? How do you prove that? Here we are 2,000 years later. Here we are, I don't know how many thousand miles away from where Jesus actually died. How do you prove the resurrection? And that's a good question. Because it's kind of hard for us to physically prove it. I wasn't there. But I believe it as if I was. Because there's some things in the scriptures and things in logic that tell us why the resurrection is real.
Amen.
I want to read these few verses here in Acts chapter 4. We're going to cover a number of passages. Let's stand in honor of the word of God. Acts chapter 4, starting with verse 29. And it says, and now, Lord, behold, this is the apostles praying. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught was of the things which he possessed was his own, But they had all things common. And look at verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you. And Lord, I'm just a fallible man. And Lord, I need your help. I need your Holy Spirit. I need him to speak in my stead. Lord, this is the most important mark in history. If it's true, then all those that don't come to Jesus will end up in that awful place called the lake of fire. If it is true, or if it's not true, then Lord, it doesn't matter. But if it's true, I pray that your Holy Spirit will convince us this morning to show us the truth. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I can imagine here when we get to this point, we're seeing that the disciples, Jesus had ascended in Acts chapter 1, and they had just healed this one man that was lame at the Gate Beautiful, and then they came to a point where they were actually preaching boldly. Some people call it boldness. Some people, I've been around people, and the truth is, I don't like being around people that aren't confident in what they preach. If you've got a Bible and you're wondering if it's truly the Word of God, you can't preach with confidence.
Amen.
You can't have confidence. And so I've got a Bible that has no mistakes in it.
Amen.
Okay? That's why we stand in honor of it, because it's not my words that are special, it's God's words.
Amen.
And this is the love letter from the Creator of all things. Amen. The one that keeps our heart beating. The one that died on the cross. Amen. To keep us from going to that awful place called the lake of fire. And so what we need to realize is, if we have the truth, we ought not be timid. We ought not be pushed around. I told in Sunday school, I had a guy, and I'm very conservative in my political views as well as my biblical views. Okay? And I hope that doesn't bother you. And I can stand up with the best of them and defend what I believe. Not because I'm special, I've studied it out. But the truth is, there are people out there around you and around me that need to know what we know. But how do you defend the resurrection, preacher, when it happened so long ago and so far away? Well, there's some things here. First off, what you see here in this passage, you see that the resurrection, preaching the resurrection, gave them boldness and great power.
Amen.
These were the same people who ran scared when Jesus was crucified. And for them to stand toe to toe with the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, there had to be something special about that resurrection.
Amen.
You see, one of the things that we forget a lot of times, and it needs to be remembered and shared, is the fact that the New Testament of the Bible was written by men who saw Jesus crucified and then saw him after he rose from the dead.
Amen.
They knew it wasn't a hoax. If it was a hoax, they wouldn't have died for a joke.
Right.
And the only one that didn't die for it, and they tried to kill John, was the Apostle John. The Apostle John, the problem was, he survived being boiled in oil. Why did he survive? Well,
The same reason Jesus survived to make it to the cross, because God wasn't through with him yet. See, John had another book to write, book of Revelation. But everyone, and one of the things we need to remember, these eyewitness accounts would stand up in a court today. We're in Acts. Let's go over to Acts chapter 2, verse 32. If you don't want to turn the Bible, you can write these verses down. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Let's look at it. And it says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." The disciples were standing there, and they didn't mind. They don't have a problem. They knew the truth, and the truth was that it really happened. It really happened. Not just some kind of made-up story. I mean, let's face it. If Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead, after Lazarus was dead 4 days, who better to raise himself? And you say, well, raising up somebody else is different. You got to remember something. Jesus was not just anybody.
That's right. Amen.
He was God incarnate. He was God in the flesh. That's why he could do anything he wanted. He did not meet a stranger. He knew everybody as he met them. But let me ask you this. They had a couple explanations as to why Jesus' body wasn't in the tomb. I've heard some crazy stories. Some of them say that he wasn't in the tomb, and that because the disciples stole his body. Now, first off, these were scared men. They were in a locked room even after Jesus rose from the dead. He had to come through the wall and get into the room because they were already locked and scared. Do you really think they're going to go steal his body against the armed Roman soldiers? But that's what they were told, right? In fact, the Pharisees told them, "We're going to pay you money." Told the soldiers, "We're going to pay you some money. You say that you were asleep on guard duty, and the disciples came and stole his body while you were asleep." Some of you guys were in the military. Some of us know pretty good about what history is and what would have happened to a Roman soldier that fell asleep on the job. It was a death penalty, absolutely. So how much money would you give for your life? Or do you really trust these people? They took money from the Pharisees, and you know what the Pharisees did? I guarantee you. They turned on them. What better way to verify that they fell asleep? But let me ask you this. If they fell asleep, number one, how did they know what happened? There are a lot of things that happen when I'm asleep I don't know about. Amen? But the truth is, how did they know who took Jesus' body if they were asleep? See, all these things, they don't make any sense. But the most important thing to me makes me understand, not only even before I got saved, was that the Holy Spirit inside was convicting me of who Jesus really is, who Jesus, that he really died and really rose again. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 15. Right there in that same area.
Look at 14 and 15. But ye denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Time and time again, the apostles and the disciples were saying, hey, we saw, we know what happened. We saw him before he was crucified, we saw him crucified, and now we've seen him after he rose from the dead. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Jesus was seen of 500 brethren, more than 500 brethren at once. Now I've got a question about that. The term brethren means that they were saved people. And apparently Jesus didn't appear to lost people. Every account after his resurrection seems to indicate that he only appeared to people that really believed in him. The only one I can think of that he appeared to that didn't believe was the Apostle Paul, and it didn't take him long to believe on the road to Damascus. But what we all need to understand, go to Luke chapter 1, verse 2. I want us to get a good indication of these. Luke chapter 1, verse 2. We'll read 1 and 2. It says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. You see, a lot of the accounts you have in your New Testament, just about all of them were eyewitnesses, and they were written by the Holy Spirit's power. These men were not left to their own devices to write what they wrote. But the Holy Spirit used these men, and they're what they saw to verify. And not a one of them that you have scripture on denied the Lord. But they were willing to die. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Now you would think that if anybody knew the Lord Jesus, it would be the Apostle Paul. But look at what the Apostle Paul writes here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and what? The power of his resurrection. I want us to say that together. The power of his resurrection. One more time. The power of his resurrection. See, that's the power that the apostles were preaching from. That was the power that comes with knowing that the Lord, nothing can stop him, not even death itself. We've got a God that can serve, that can help, that can lead us through, that can break chains. Anything we need from him, he can do. Even take a child of hell and make him a child of God. Amen. Which is what he did for me, many of you. See, the resurrection of Christ is why we stand today. Hey, if there's no resurrection, why have a Bible?
Right.
Because if the resurrection did not take place, we got a problem. Because Jesus said he was going to come back from the dead. If he didn't come back from the dead, he is not a good man. He's either a madman or a charlatan, a deceiver. If he did not come back from the dead. because he couldn't keep his promise, even though he might have tried to keep his promise. If he didn't do it, the Bible just throw it away, because we don't have any hope of heaven. But he kept his word. He raised from the dead. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Nobody's going to get to heaven without believing and putting their trust in Jesus and the resurrection that God raised him from the dead.
Amen.
It is essential for you to believe that to go to heaven. The truth is, there are a lot of people that don't hear about it. A lot of people just kind of take it for granted. Oh, it's just something that those crazy Christians believe. I want to tell you something. What they are saying is the fact that this world is all there is. And when you die, you die. The problem with that is you got a book from the Creator. By the way, we're talking about eyewitnesses, right? What about evolution? There's only one eyewitness. Well, three: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three eyewitnesses of creation. And God wrote it down in the book. And you want to believe that it took millions and millions of years and God had to try this creature and grow him from that creature to this creature? Guess what? My God did it right the first time.
Amen.
And he only needed 6 days. And he could have done it in 6 seconds if he'd wanted to. But he was setting an example for you and I. The truth is, this book is perfect. The truth is, we have a perfect Savior. The truth is, there's a perfect salvation, and it came from a perfect Savior who rose from the dead.
Amen.
After he died, paid for our sins. And the only way anybody's going to get to heaven is by coming through the cross, by going to Jesus. Jesus promises. He's the one. Bible says, By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That means you can't earn it. Goes on to say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God's got a gift for everybody. He wants to see everybody. In Sunday school, it talked about the Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't want to see a single one lost. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, today's the day to get it settled. The devil will try to get you to put it off. He'll get on your shoulder and he'll say, you don't need that. You're young, or you're all right, or you know better than that. That crazy preacher, he's just a nut. That's what the devil calls me. But you know what? I'm going to have the last laugh. But guess what? He's going to end up in that lake of fire. I'm going on to glory.
Amen.
I'm going to be standing there watching him cast into the lake of fire. I'll pull the trap door if the Lord will let me. But the truth is, I don't want to see anybody miss heaven. I don't want to see anybody. The resurrection of Jesus Christ really took place. Nothing has changed the world in mankind's history like the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
They say that about approximately one-third of the world's population believes in the resurrection. Now, I know there are variations of Christianity, and some of them are trusting in other things, but they believe in the resurrection of Christ. But the most important thing is, are you trusting in Jesus Christ and his resurrection?
See, when God the Father spoke from heaven, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." If Jesus had ever sinned during his earthly ministry, God the Father never would have said that. He wouldn't have been qualified to be our Savior. God would not have raised him from the dead had Jesus ever sinned. But he wasn't just pleased, he was well pleased with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't be more pleased with my Jesus. Having him makes the difference. If you don't have him, you can today. We're going to have an invitation here shortly. And we're going to give you an opportunity. All you've got to do is come forward. You say, "I don't want to come forward in front of all these people." Hey, don't let that stop you. Don't let anything stop you. If you're not saved, if your name's not in God's book, the Bible says whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And God did not want you to go there. So don't. Put your trust in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, we come before you thanking you for the resurrection of Christ. We know without a shadow of a doubt that it's true. We know that this world doesn't like it. We know how much you changed this world's history by that one event. Lord, we ask you to move. Help each person here to make the decision that's best for them. If they're here and not saved, Lord, let them get it settled today. And we'll show them from the Bible how to know for sure. When they put their head on the pillow tonight, they can know for sure if they die in their sleep or whenever thereafter, they'll be with you in heaven. And not in that awful place called the lake of fire. Move in a special way in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.